Genesis, the 11th chapter. I want to bring you to a Sunday school story to convey a deep thought. It's not elementary, it's actually a deep thought. But I want to use a Sunday school text to uncover this idea, if you build it. If you build it. I don't know if I'm in the right room this morning. I say that because you might not be building nothing. You might just be here to be here. But for those of us who have stepped out this year to do things that normally we would not be doing. I got a couple of them in the room. It's not even in your nature to do it. It's not something that comes natural to you, but you're trusting the Lord anyway. I believe this word is specifically for you. Not to try to alienate anyone, but sometimes people are just comfortable with where they are. I want to speak to people who have decided to live in the uncomfortable space. You've come so familiar with ambiguity because you have told yourself, I will not be incarcerated by the fear of the unknown. And so you chose to dare believe the Lord and jumped out there. I want to help you today with this message, because if you build it, it has to have the fullness, not just the facade. The Word of God declares in Genesis, the 11th chapter, now the whole world had one language, common speech. People moved eastward. They found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other amongst themselves, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5 inserts something very interesting. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel. Because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of our heart. Father, speak to us today. Do it in a way that lets us know who you are. We can't do it without you. And I refuse to do it without you. So come, Lord Jesus, into this place. Let that word find us. Quicken us and make us alive. Let it separate soul from spirit. Figure out what's really going on. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. I know in our ears that we're able to hear it. Lord, the most important thing is that you have your way. Do whatever you want to do. This is your house, and we are your people. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for the things you have done, for what you are presently doing, and for certainly for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name. You agree, shout amen. Come on, turn to somebody before you sit down. Smile as bright as you possibly can. Give them the biggest smile. You ain't smiled all morning. Y'all been looking at me like you're mad and ugly. I didn't make you get up this morning. Come on, smile and say, if you build it. Turn to somebody else and smile and say, if you build it, he might come. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All of us, well, most of us remember the Kevin Costner movie Field of Dreams, where he was haunted, if you will, by the ghosts of players past who kept showing up to him wanting to build this field. And the field was based on the field of dreams of individuals who played on that field in times past. And the most popular statement from that movie is, if you build it, they will come. If he built this field, then the individuals who played on it, the folk who touched it, the dreams that were built in it, will begin to show up in real time in the lives of the individuals who will now be on this field. I want to insert into your mind a different scope on that very topic to suggest to you, if you build it, he will come. Most of us are building something that seemingly does not allow God to be involved in. We want his help in the process, but we really much don't want him to run the whole ship. We want God to move in certain ways, and we want God to fulfill our dreams, but we don't want God to fill our dreams. We want God to bring us to this place of achievement and attainment, and we do so through our prayers and through our worship. And we praise him, rightfully so, to bring us into these places. But when we get to these places, we often forget about the God who got us there. I know it's quiet. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take my time with it and get it into your spirit the way I want to get it into your spirit. And so you're pretty much not going to like most of these opening statements, but you're going to get it anyway because it's good medicine for your soul. Your ego begins to tell you that you can accomplish it and that you can do it by yourself. And it is in that ego-centric mindset that we begin to jump out and seek out to do things for the Lord. And when we begin to do those things and begin to be successful in doing those things, we often forget the practices that we had in the process of getting to where God wanted us to go. For instance, when you were seeking the Lord just for the job you got, and you were praying and believing for the promotion, or praying that they will call you back, or praying that your phone would ring, your prayer life was on 10. It was at a whole different level because there was something that you were trying to attain and that you were trying to get, and you were trusting and believing God. And so when you had to press your way, you pressed. And when you had to praise through, you praised through. And when you had to trust, you trust. Y'all not here with me. Now you got the job. Now you got the promotion. Now you got the position. And then all of a sudden, the process to which you practice in getting those things are no longer a part of your everyday experience. When you were looking for the job, y'all, I'm talking better, y'all shouting, you were getting up in the morning in his face saying, Father, be with me. God, direct my eyes toward the, come on here, somebody. Your prayer was so detailed and so specific because you were seeking after something that your heart desired. And when you got it, all of a sudden, Lord have mercy, that practice of that process fell off by the wayside. And now you are too busy, come on here somebody, to do the things that you used to do that got you to where you are. And then you wonder why you are stuck. You wonder why you're not progressing. You wonder why you're not moving forward. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, Pastor's not scared of you. You wonder why things aren't moving. You wonder why you can't go to the next level. You wonder why you are starting to, watch me now, backpedal. It's because you did not pay attention to the direction and the momentum that was created by you practicing the process of prayer and praise and seeking his face and getting into your word. Oh, y'all not gonna talk to me. It's gonna be all right. You stopped the practice. And when you stopped the practice, guess what? When it came time to perform, you made it all about the performance. And because you made it all about the performance, you took God out of the equation. Y'all not in here with me. And you start playing his role and you let him stop playing his role. In other words, when you got the promotion, when you got the position, or whatever it is that you were looking for, insert whatever adjective you want to describe what it is that you got, all of a sudden, God is no longer a part of the mix. What you did not realize is this, that one step of getting you to that place was just a dot that you got to connect to another dot. It was not a total destination that was going to be permanent for you. It was just an experience so that when he asks you to connect the next dot, y'all not in here with me, you have this confidence because you've gone through the process of the first dot. Look at your name and say, you got to connect the dots, baby. If you don't connect the dots, then when God takes you outside the box, y'all not in here with me, it's all right. If you don't connect the dots, when God takes you outside of that box of experience to a whole new dimension, you are going to, watch me now, insert yourself into the role of God and start trying to perform like he does. But here's the problem, you ain't God, baby. You ain't God. And so you can't manage all that you're trying to manage and maintain all that you're trying to maintain because you weren't built to do it. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. Let me make my point a different way. Let me make my point a different way because y'all don't like it. It's okay to laugh if you don't like it. It's all right. Oftentimes, we ask God for things, and when those things show up, the conversation that we were having with God is not an ongoing conversation. The conversation stops the moment you get what you're looking for from the Lord. And then therefore, there's no more convo. Then God comes and wants to give you a whole different experience and take you to a whole different dimension. And so he moves you outside of your normal framework. Y'all not here with me. That then causes you to have another conversation because you realize I'm out here in a space that I can't control, that I can't maintain, that I can't manage. Oh God, who am I talking to? Now I gotta talk to the Lord. Now I have to pray. I throw my hands up to praise because guess what? I don't know what to do. And more importantly, I don't know how to do it. What used to work for me no longer works for me. And now I gotta seek a different level of wisdom and understanding. The problem is that you never connected the dots. Let me get off this subject for a second. You never connected the dots. You never saw God take you from point A to point B that leads to point C, that leads to point D, and then sometimes back to point A, and then back to point C, and then all of a sudden you're at F and don't know how you got to F, and then you go back to B. Y'all not in here with me. It's like three steps forward and then two steps back, and you get frustrated with that process, and you don't know that it's a divine dance that God has you on so that you can connect the dots. The reason you go three steps forward and two steps back is because the back is teaching you something that you did not learn when you were there. Oh God, you did not learn that you needed more patience. You did not learn. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here. You didn't learn what you needed to learn. So you're mad with God because you're going forward and going backwards at the same time. You say y'all are arguing. God says we're dancing. Y'all not here with me. You say, God is not for me. And God is saying, can't you hear the rhythm? Can't you feel the rhythm of my grace? Can't you see me moving and orchestrating you and positioning you where you need to go? Here's the problem with that divine dance. You want to lead. Oh, God. You don't mind dancing with the Lord, but you want to lead. You want it to be on your tempo and your timing. I know I'm stepping on your toes. It's all right. It's going to get better in a second. You want to lead. But here's the thing about you leading. You don't know the timing. That's why you got to let God lead. If you let God lead, he knows the exact time when to turn you. Oh, God. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know what this is, but I'm about to step into a whole different dimension for somebody that really needs to hear what I'm saying. If you let go and actually trust God and let him lead this thing, God knows when to turn you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, he's about to turn me. He's about to turn me right into the position I'm supposed to be in, right into the place I'm supposed to be. God is about to turn me. Oh God, I'm talking to somebody that needs to hear what I'm saying. I didn't come to preach for everybody this morning. I understand it. But for somebody that needs to hear what I'm saying, shout, God's about to turn me. Not my situation, me. Not my problem, me. Not my difficulty, me. I don't need him to turn that. I need him to turn me. Oh, God. I need somebody to hear what I'm saying. Stop asking God to turn your problem. Start asking God to turn you. When God turns you, you come up from that turn with a different perspective. You got a different outlook. You praise God differently. You're not praising him because you need something. You're praising him because you found out who he really is and who you are in him. Oh, God, you're praising him because you found out he is a way maker. He is a healer. He is the I am that I am. You're praising him because you found out that you are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. Oh God, who am I preaching to? Oh, slap your name and say, I got a different perspective on it now. I used to praise him for selfish reasons. Now I praise him for service reasons. Y'all know they're here with me. I used to praise him because I needed something. Now I praise him because I am something. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Oh, God, I'm talking to some. I used to praise him because I was down and out. Now I praise him because I'm where I want to be, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Oh, God, hallelujah. And if I don't get in his presence, I can't get to where he wants me to be. Y'all sit down. I'm trying. It is in the process of dreaming and believing that what God said about our lives and who we are and who he is connects one to another. And in so doing, it creates this process that we practice daily. It is not something that we do just to get somewhere. It's something that we do because of who we are. And we do that because of who he is. So my praise then, I'm going to stay on this for just a second. So my praise then is a result not of my problem. My perspective or my praise is a result of who God has created me to be. Because if God did not do what he did in my life, I know what the outcome would look like. As a matter of fact, it should look very differently than what it looks right now. I know that I should not be where I am, but because I am where I am, that makes me seek a different dimension, because I now understand if God can do that, then he can do this. Oh God, so maybe I need God to just turn me a little bit so that I can understand that the same God that did that is the same God that's about to do this. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here. Slap your name and say, go ahead and connect the dot real quick. Connect the dot to what God has done and say to yourself, the same God that did that is the same God that's about to do this. We switch gods based on circumstances. See, God is your God to the level of your circumstance. Oh God, I gotta get off this thing. He's your God to the level of the circumstance. And in this Sunday school story that we've opened up to talk about, that is all too familiar to our ears, of the Tower of Babel, we lack the understanding and the deeper meaning behind this particular text. It is Moses who is trying to convey to us through this writing that if you build it, he will come. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Because if you're going to build something, God's going to show up to inspect it. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He's going to show up to inspect it. It wasn't like God was angry with them for building. You see, the misunderstanding in this narrative is that God was mad with them because they were building a tower. They weren't just building a tower. They were building a city. They were building a city with a tower in the middle. You don't hear what I'm saying. And if you read the text and you read the narrative, it wasn't so that Nimrod, much like they depict in the movie, was trying to build this thing so he can take his bow and arrow and shoot it into the sky to kill God, because that's, watch me now, insane. God was not shook by what they were building. He was shook behind the people that were building it. God is never shook by your project. He shook by your praise. You don't hear what I'm saying? God is not upset about your project. He's upset about your praise. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The project wasn't the problem. The praise was. Oh, God, let me get to where I need to go, because I don't have a lot of time to break it down to you. So I'm going to do it real quick and simple. In other words, the project itself was that we were going to build this city. This is now the beginning of urbanization. People didn't live in cities. They lived in surrounding tribes and villages, and they came to the city where there were granaries and so forth and so on. And so this is ancient Mesopotamia, Babylonia, and now all of a sudden they want to build this city and urbanize where they are and make people now live in the city. It wasn't just going to be a place for grain and so forth, but it was about to become something robust. And as it being robust, they decided that their crowning achievement and attainment was going to be this tower in the middle of the city. The tower, what is known as a ziggurat. A ziggurat is not a cigarette, a ziggurat. It's all right. It's going to be all right with a Z, Z-I-G-G-U-R-A-T, a ziggurat. And they were going to build the ziggurat. And as they were building the ziggurat, a ziggurat is nothing more than a pyramid shape. A structure or project with steps on the outside. It is built with stone as its foundation, but then with brick as the facade. But on the inside of the ziggurat is just dirt and sand. So there's nothing on the inside and everything is on the outside. The reason why everything is on the outside and nothing is on the inside, because the project is not built for people, but it's built for an individual to climb up those steps as they indicated in their minds, which were going to be a stairway to heaven. And so they built ziggurats in Mesopotamia because they were trying to say, this is the gateway portal between heaven and earth. Therefore, let us build it so that we can have a gateway rather than God providing a gateway for us. You don't hear what I'm saying? That's why God wasn't upset with the project. He was upset with the praise. Because when they built it, there was not going to be any praise to him. Only people ascending these facade steps with nothing on the inside of the structure. God says, if you praise me, I will show up. For God inhabits the praises, I wish I had a church, of his people. So you don't have to build a structure to get to God. All you got to do is open your mouth and give him a hallelujah, and God will show up right in the... Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Oh, Lord. Y'all got to... Oh, let's take it deeper. Let's take it deeper. Because you say to yourself, well, Pastor, I'm not building no ziggurat. Sure you are. Your dream is a ziggurat. Your job is a ziggurat. Your marriage could be a ziggurat. It's something that's built with a nice facade, but it's empty on the inside. It's not full of life. It's full of dirt. Now, people can use it, but they can't inhabit it. There's no shelter for anybody. There's no safety for it. You don't hear what I'm saying. No. It's built on a foundation of rock. But you then take the time and the engineering acumen to make the brick. Because where they were, they had to make brick for their structure. In other words, they could not use the stone in Palestine because they weren't in Palestine. And so now they have to use the foundation out of rock. And now they have to build the brick. And when they build the brick, it takes time. And because the brick took time, they then filled the inside with nothingness, because the process of the structure takes time to build. And when it takes time to build, you rather fill it empty on the inside just so it looks cute on the outside. How many people are coming to the house of worship looking cute on the outside but empty as a shell on the inside? Oh, I came to set it off this morning. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, if you build it, he might come. And when he come, he's going to start looking on the inside to see what you're really made of. That's why most folk don't want him to show up. Sit down. This is why most people really don't want God to show up. We want God to show up to bless us, but we don't want God to show up to inspect us. And when he shows up, he's got his hard hat on to expect what it is that you're building. What is it made up on the inside? Because the outside does not matter. It's the inside of the project that I'm looking for. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is about to fill your inside. I'm talking to somebody in here. Stop worrying about building your dream if God can't build you up on the inside first. Let him build up your spirit. Let him build up your patience. Let him build up your love. Let him build up your peace. Let him build up your joy. Slap somebody a high five and say, I'm getting full on the inside. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting up in here. Somebody needs to get full of joy to have the joy of your salvation return unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting full of joy on the inside. I was full of pain, but now I'm full of joy. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shout. Give me 10 minutes. The problem with their project was the praise. They were building this structure so that people would praise other gods. So God came down and said, let us see what they're doing. Oh, there's some good stuff right here. God comes down because he's interested in the project. And he wants to inspect the project to see if the project got any praise in it. Look at your neighbor and say, does your project have praise inside? When you build it, what will people say? More importantly, when you build it, what will you say? This is why Jesus was sitting with his disciples and said, who do people say that I am? Oh God, oh, have mercy. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then he turns on a dime and says, that's good. That's a compliment. But who do you, oh God, who do you say that I am? How do you see me? How do you perceive me? You don't hear what I, who am I to you? And it was Peter of all people. Lord, have mercy. Because I'll take a Peter over any deep revelatory individual. I will take a Peter who can, from their lowest point and lowest trajectory, get a revelation of who Jesus is. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Some of y'all been serving God for 10, 15, 20 years and still ain't figured out on the inside who he really is. Somebody shout, thou art the Christ, Son of God. Son of the living God, you are the anointed one and you have an anointing. I'm preaching better than y'all shout that can destroy every yoke. God shows up to see what the project is because the project is not his concern. The people is. God is not concerned about the project. He's concerned about the people. We are concerned about the project and not the people. My dream, my this, my that, project. My job, my career, the project. My marriage, the project. I'm so tired of people saying, I want my marriage. You can't be married to marriage. You are married to a person. That person seldomly says, I want, you know, Bob or John or Sue. Y'all not hear what, oh, I want my marriage, because you like the idea of a thing. Oh God, I'm preaching way better. But the person involved in it with you is almost an appendix on the whole dream. My job, my career, you're not thinking about the people that you're going to impact. You're not, that's not even in your mind. All that's in your mind is the project, and you're not even thinking about the people that have come past you, that God has used you to connect to him, and you're not even thinking about the people. Slap somebody and say, it's about the people. Not the project. So churches build and forget about the people. God, I'm preaching way back. Ministries build and forget about the people. Businesses build and forget about the people. God comes down because he sees what they're building. It's a nice project. But what about the people? Oh, God, I'm preaching better, y'all. Shout out. And he says, he says, oh, my God, they can do whatever they put their minds to do. In other words, he's basically saying they're about to lead a lot of people astray. So God scattered them to stop them from hurting people. You ought to thank God for stopping some of the stuff that you was about to do that was going to hurt a lot of folk. Oh God, who am I preaching to in here? Slap your name and say, God, thank you for stopping me when you did. Because if you didn't stop me, I'd have messed them up. I'd have broke them over there. I'd have ruined my child's future. I'd have destroyed. Oh God, I feel an anointing in here. Thank you for stopping me when you did. I'm glad he stopped me. Oh God, you don't hear what I'm saying. See, when you come to this platform of praising God and whatever it is that you're building for him that relates to people, you'll understand with clarity the things that God has done that stopped you. It was not the devil. It wasn't bad luck. Oh, it was the hand of the living God saying, not yet. Oh God, I'm preaching about it. Don't do that. I gotta hold you back from that. I gotta shut a door over there. Y'all not in here with me. You looked at it as a negative, but God sees it as a positive. Because if you keep going, you're gonna build something that people can see, but is empty on the inside. And when someone needs something deeper, they're gonna be disappointed because it's not full, it's just a facade. It's like finding out how the movies are made. If you were in on the process of the making of the movie, you probably wouldn't want to see the movie. God, I'm preaching way better, y'all. Because then you would know how everything really looked. I'm preaching way better, y'all, shouting. And you would know how it all comes together. And you would know how the dots connect. You don't hear what I'm saying. And so you would be upset that scene they shot that looked like a deep, deep ocean was just a little pool. Y'all ain't said nothing. That they made look like an ocean. You would be mad that it was just a facade. You would be upset that Friends wasn't filmed in New York. Come on here, somebody. But it was in a studio somewhere with a facade structure up. And you would stop watching. Because you would be going, that ain't real. That ain't real. It's just a facade. And you'd be upset when you look behind a facade. All you see is wood beams holding up this thinly layered facade. And when God sees what you're building, he says, I can't use the facade. The facade is only good for imagination. It's not good for implementation. The facade is what you do when you're dreaming. Oh God, I'm preaching about your show. The facade is what you do when you're dreaming. But when you start building, oh God, have mercy. You have to implement something different. See, when you start dreaming, you can have a facade, but when you start building, you gotta make bricks. Oh, slap your name and say, I'm about to make some bricks, baby. The reason why they wanted to make the ziggurat was because the ziggurat was going to be the crowning achievement, and it was a process that did not have to have a lot of intricate detail on the inside. And so they could build something that looks great on the outside, but it didn't have to have a whole bunch of process in detail for the inside. But they still had to make brick. They still had to go through the process of making the brick to be able to put over the foundation so that they can have a solid structure that will support individuals that will walk up these stairs. But they didn't want to take the time or have the process to make something that would cause people to look on the inside, to see what it's really about, to seek on a deeper level. They wanted to have this polytheistic structure that was set up in such a way that people could come worship whatever God they wanted to worship. And that's where God had a problem with. He says, no, don't you build a project that's not going to bring me glory. Build a project so that when people see it, they know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where in the world you would be. So the Bible says he scattered them. He scattered them. I had a problem with this text for so long because I thought, God, that's so mean of you to confound their language so that the people, Lord have mercy, would not be able to communicate with each other. Until I understood that God was interested in communicating with us way more than we are interested in communicating with him. So he confused their language. Folk couldn't understand one another no more. And they started to scatter into their own silos where they could understand one another. Until God put the whole thing back together again. You might feel like your dream is scattered, and you might feel like what you're building is never going to happen. And therefore, you might try to put up a facade to make it look like you're doing something, but you're really not being effective, and you're really not having impact. Until God can let you know, I know how to bring it all back together again. Look at your neighbor and say, God can bring it all back together again. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. How does God bring it all back together again? Slap your name and say, people, people, people. You see, God is not so much worried about the project as much as he is worried about the people. And what he will do is he'll ordain a certain spot at a certain time that'll require people to be there. And when those people are there, he can then start putting the pieces all back together again and bring back his spirit to the place where people can understand one another once again. Slap your name and say, are you such a person? Are you such a person? When God starts to deal with people, stay with me because I'm about to lose half of you. When God starts to deal with people, he starts to ask and require of them to do certain things that are way out the box. Like, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. And I want you to wait, and I want you to tarry and wait for the promise until it shows up. I gotta get you in a room, and I gotta get you building bricks again. I wish I had somebody in here. Look at your name and say, are you such a person that you can build bricks? You don't hear what I'm saying. Pastor, what are you talking about building bricks? Your prayer builds bricks. Your praise builds bricks so that you can start taking some of those bricks and start building what God told you to build. Slap your neighbor high five and say, are you such a person? Look at him and say, can we build some bricks together? The fire that you went through builds bricks. The experience that you had, the encounters that you had builds bricks. Look at your neighbor and say, will you build some bricks with me? Because when we start sharing our testimony with one another, we start building more bricks. And I can take your story and layer it on my story. And I can take your praise and layer it on my praise and start building what God told me to build. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, will you build bricks with me, baby? All this time, people were confused until God got a group of people. You might as well stay standing. Until God got a group of people into one place. Oh, God, look at your name and say, you're about to find your spot, baby. Oh, God. The Bible says there were 120 people who were invited to this place Can I insert this into your spirit? There were more than 120 people that were invited. As a matter of fact, there were hundreds more that were invited to this place, but some of them didn't want to build bricks. Some of them didn't want to get into the upper room. Some of them, you don't hear what I'm saying. Some of them didn't want to get into this place with other people so that God can bring his spirit that was going to produce a promise. And the promise was that you never had to be scattered another day in your life, so that when somebody didn't speak your language, you would be empowered to be able to speak theirs. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that there was this moment in history called an upper room experience, that 120 people were in that room, and then suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled everybody that was in the house. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, are you in the house? Are you in the house? Half of y'all ain't in the house. You still trying to build your ziggurat, your hollowed facade that won't help nobody get to the Lord. Just looks good. Take a selfie with it. Post it on your social media. But it ain't helping nobody. 120 people. I'm closing. I'm done. Gathered in this room, and there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house. Up until this time, people were still confused, scattered, can't communicate, can't relate. Could it be what you're building is going to connect people in a powerful way? Could it be that's why the enemy fights you so hard to get you not to build it? Could it be the enemy defeats your mind so much and tells you to quit while you're ahead? It's never going to happen. I'm talking to somebody. I don't have to talk to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody specifically who's been barraged and berated in your mind and trying to tell you, don't do it. Stop while you're ahead. Quit while you're ahead. It's never going to happen. It's never going to work. And you've been invited to that room, and God got you in position and is in that place with other people. And there's about to come something that's going to totally turn your life around in such a significant way to help you be able to communicate with folk in a way you were never able to do it before. I wish I had somebody in here. That upper room experience was more about tongues. It was about connecting the dots of people. For the Bible says, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. Yes, individuals had cloven tongues set on top of them. But all of a sudden, as they began to pray in that tongue, people who were outside the room started to hear their own language. And they said, oh, in the world, how is it that you're talking to me? And somebody said, oh, they are drunk. And it was Peter who stood up and said, I ain't drunk. This is that which the prophet Joel had promised unto me. If I had half a church this morning, you would touch your name and say, this is that, baby. This is that. This is that which God has promised. I don't have to articulate it to you, but this is what the Lord has promised me. I don't know how I got into the room. I don't know how we understand one another. I don't know how we even connect, but this is that. What you are building connects people, and it connects people to God. I said all that to say that. It connects people to God. It does not connect people to you. It connects people to God. And this is why the enemy wants you to dream and not build. But you got to wake up. You got to wake up out of your slumber. Awake, O Zion. Out of your slumber. There's such a spirit of slumber in here this morning. And I confront it in the name of Jesus. Touch your name and say, wake up, why don't you? Wake up. 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 It puzzles me why people even come to church. Wake up. Wake up. Ain't nobody here to entertain you. I'm trying to connect you to God. And you're so busy trying to build something without that connection. Without that connection. If you don't wake up, if you don't wake up, you won't realize that you're building a facade. You won't build on the rock. You won't make brick. You won't connect the dots. You'll just have a facade. Cute on the outside, empty on the inside. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Facade. How you doing? Not too good, but God is good. Yeah. See, that connects people. That connects. Not that, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. God is good. All the time, you bless the highly favored. Every day, you bless the highly favored. You ain't never had no doubts, no worries, no concerns, no fears, no trouble. You ain't never went through nothing. I can't make brick with you. I can't make brick with you. I can't build with you. I don't want to build with you. You playing with paper mache. I want to build with people who know how to make brick. That means you know what fire looks like and feels like. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I want, oh God. I could have took this message so many ways, but I'm not here to entertain you. I just feel that in this room. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to connect you to God. I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. Literally, Lord have mercy. I didn't preach none of the stuff I was supposed to preach this morning. Literally, none of it. None of it. I had all this field of dream stuff. I didn't even go there. I want to leave you with this morning. I feel the Lord, and I know it's late, and we got to go. And I got to do a baby dedication and all that good stuff. But I'm just going to be obedient. There were four Hebrew boys. Three of them were thrown into a fiery furnace. This furnace that they were thrown into was built by the Babylonians, which was the beginning of that process of the text I just opened up. They were thrown into the furnace that makes the brick. When Nebuchadnezzar said, throw them in the hottest part, he threw them in the finishing process. I'm gonna say it to this side, and I hope you get what I just said. So when Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the hottest part, he inadvertently put them in the finishing process. Could it be that the heat you feel, oh God, is the finishing. I wish I had a church. It's the finishing.
process. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, it's finished, baby, it's finished. Oh God, I feel an anointing here. It's finished, it's finished, it's finished, it's finished. When I come out of this, it's gonna be done. When I step out of this, it's over. It's It was in that moment that Nebuchadnezzar looked inside to see them burning and said, wait a second, I thought I threw three people in there. Why do I see four on the inside? And it was Nebuchadnezzar who said, and one of them looks like the Son of Man. You know God is with you when your enemy can see God with you. God, I don't want to have no church here this morning. But when your enemy can see God with you. Yeah. When he opened the furnace, the people who threw him in were burned, and the people who opened it were burned, but the people who were inside wasn't touched at all. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, not only am I coming out, but I'm not only going to smell like smoke, baby. I won't look like what I went through. If you build it, if you build it, he will come. And he'll come whether you've been thrown in the furnace. He'll come whether you are in a position, in a place where you never thought you would be, like an upper room. He'll come. And when he comes with his power. He comes with his peace. Hallelujah. Come on, take that hand of your neighbor. Come on, all across this room. For those of you who just spectated today, hope you got a good show. I'm serious about that. I'm dead serious. Stop coming to be entertained. Come to be connected. Why else are you here? Connect to the Lord. If you don't stay connected to who you are in God, oh God, you won't recognize when you are asleep. You'll sleepwalk through. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. It's not about the project. It's about the people. Wake up. I know it's great to dream. I dream so much that the stuff I dream about is real to me. Where I'm going, where I'm headed, I've already been there. But I still got to build it. And unless God's built the house, I labor in vain. So now I have to let him lead, which puts me out of my timetable. I don't get to do it in my time frame. If I got to do it in my time frame, what would have happened yesterday? Oh, Lord have mercy. But I don't get to do that. I have to then trust that process of being made and making. I got to trust it when I'm thrown in the furnace. I got to trust it when I step outside of my normal scope and become comfortable with ambiguity. How you get there? I don't know. How you gonna do it? I don't know. Those are some of the most freeing words to me. I don't know.
I don't have a clue. All I know is I keep pursuing what he tells me to pursue. And I can apply some acumen and some expertise. That's not what I'm saying. But in the end of it all, I really don't know. I don't know. I just know him. And because I know him, I keep going. I keep going. Father, we thank you for every dream, every life, every endeavor, every project. But God, we don't want to build projects that are hollow, empty, facades. We want to build something full of your glory. So when people encounter it and they see it, they connect with you. It resonates with them. When they ask us how we got there, we can say, if it had not been for the Lord, we could say, to God be the glory for the things he has done. So Father, in this moment, let us wake up, become comfortable with the ambiguity, trust you again, let you lead, let you turn us, let you conduct the timing. Let us move to the rhythm of your grace. Father, we won't try to take the lead from you. We won't try to make it about attainment, because faith in and of itself is not a worthiness contest. Because at the end of the day, none of us are worthy. Only you alone are worthy. So, Father, we trust you. We know we don't belong, but you put us there anyway. And we're comfortable with being there right in our own skin. Because this is your doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. Father, bless every endeavor. Bless every project. Bless every home and marriage. Every individual. Bless them. Cause them to know what you're doing in their life. Results in the connection. For you to people, and for people to you, so that you can get all the glory. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on, give the Lord some praise.